Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening, and welcome to this fantastic event. My name is Austin DeLone. This is my wife, Leslie DeLone. It's our son who has Prader-Willi syndrome, and we're trying to start a new nonprofit, and we want to thank the people that have helped us so much to put a great step forward. Of course, first of all, the man himself, Mr. Elvis Costello. He so generously offered a couple years ago when we talked about it to put together a benefit, and we came up with this great idea of getting the fantastic band, the guys from Clover, to play the first album, top to bottom. We want to thank everybody in the band, John McPhee on guitar, John Hopper on the keys, Dr. John Ciambone on the bass, and of course Pete Thomas. Also thanks to my pal Bill Kirchen for flying all the way from Baltimore just to play tonight. Want to thank Colin Baird and everybody at the staff at the Macklin Film and Management for helping put this together. Dawn at Great American Music Hall, Bonnie Simmons, the fantastic crew, Milo Lewis and everybody, Burton and all the gang. Thanks for applauding, that was great. And everybody else, thank you so much for coming down. Leslie?
Hello, everybody. I just want to say a great thank you to the Prader-Willi and our friends. If you can just stop by on your way out and check out the table over there. And when we entered the world of the disabled 9.5 years ago, it was a very big shock. And needless to say, I wanted to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge with my son. And then when I started feeling better, I wanted my husband to jump off the bridge. But this is 9.5 years later, and I feel terribly blessed to have wonderful friends. I call them my angels. And tonight, my biggest angel of all, my archangel, is Elvis Costello.
Don't forget, there's some fantastic t-shirts, posters, and merchandise over there for everybody. And please welcome to the stage, Elvis Costello and Prader!
I'm not afraid of you.
be here and see you all. You're very kind of you to all come down. See, it's the first time that the Clover and I ever stepped on a stage together. You know, they played on this album, Man Was True. I'll tell you more about it later, but there was a reason that, I don't know, they didn't have any papers. We smuggled them into the country, wrapped them in the carpet, so. And they were over working in England, and I was working in an office, and we somehow made this rock and roll record. And then we had to pretend they were, we told people they were called Shamrocks. I think they saw through that thin disguise. They weren't allowed to play in public because they had no union papers, and you know how important they are. And no, they seriously are. I'm a union man all the way. And they had no work permits. So if we had appeared in public, they would have immediately been sent to Guantanamo Bay. Anyway, I'm glad to say that we finally got the opportunity to play these songs for Man Is True. And when we got together, we said, well, I played these songs many different ways, lots of them. But it'd be quite a lot of fun to play them the way we recorded them originally. So we didn't play them fast. We played them the way they're supposed to go. Oh, I see she's as good as a perfume. My girls have done something nice before, time and time again. But it's a shame, I don't know why, but somebody has to find it. Oh, yes, it's a way. I saw this advertisement in the newspaper, and a friend of mine, Nick Lowe, was recording for a label called Stiff, and they made like one record. In fact, it was just one copy. And I was the first person down through the door with a tape. And they said, yeah, some of these songs are okay. We've heard a couple of them on the radio. There was a fella called Charlie Gillett who liked me back then. And he played the music on a radio that I had made in my bedroom. It was a very strange experience. And one of the songs the people at Stiff thought was quite a good. In fact, they thought I might even be a good songwriter for Dave Edmunds. So they put me in the studio with John McPhee and Mickey Shine, you might wonder where he is. He's painting. He does music and painting therapy, so that's a very great cause that he's doing there. So he played on the record, and Pete knows these guys for many, many years, and I thought it'd be great as people around and these guys, and he came and played drums. Anyway, I went down to stop you, I'm boring you, right? I got sent down, so I'm working in an office and I take a sick day, and I go down to this country house, the like of which I had imagined in my rock and roll dream. But Led Zeppelin had lived there for a while and then Bad Company, so the place was looking a little distressed by the time. By the time these guys at Clover were persuaded over from Marin County by a couple of ne'er-do-well managers that came over here and said, your fame and fortunes lie in London, fellas. Despite of your ability to play your instruments and your long hair, you'll be doing really good in 1976. Anyway, they were holed up in this phonogram safe house. And I would go down and we'd learn a couple of songs and then we'd go up to London and record them. And Stiff would borrow a bit more money off the Lady Brillo and then we'd go in the studio again. I'd take a couple more sick days off and think of elaborate excuses not to be working in the computer place and teach these guys some more songs and then we'd go and record them. The only downside of this was that once we got to record a bunch of songs, I had to stay the night. And the music room in this baronial hall was rat infested. And I was told, whatever you do, don't turn the lights off. Now you probably know, those of you who know Clover know that they had two singers at that time, the great Alex Call and another gentleman who has gone on to much fame and fortune was the Huey Lewis. And I recall one occasion that our manager, Dave Robinson, came down. A man who's a great judge of a horse, and drove a Cadillac that he had across the Plough Field to get to the pub. Alex and Huey and him went out for the night, and the next thing I woke up in a totally dark music room. I could hear the snoring of Mr. Robinson over on the other couch, and I could hear the rustling. Now, I had made myself comfortable for the evening. I was fully dressed. But I had taken off my shoes. And I knew that I had to put my shoes on to go switch the light back on. I reached down on the floor. And then I wrote this song. Take a day.
Seen around town, but I mean in this kind of neighborhood over the years, and we used to pass just across in the 1980s when he was on the road with Huey and the News. I hadn't actually seen Dr. John here. This is Dr. John Shambo here. Yeah. Dr. John and I, we last saw each other in Musso and Frank's in Los Angeles. I think we were drinking Gibson's at the time. And back in those days, T-Bone Burnett was there, I know that. And I think Lucinda Williams was there, so heaven knows what kind of trouble we got into. Also, he is a doctor because he is a chiropractor as well as a great bass player. So we knew that all along he had these strong hands. I remember John told me that he said, you know, like bands, they get along sometimes and they don't get along other times. And the first time that he went to John for a consultation, this John, he said, "We're straight now, right? Before you crack my head." You know, John actually played with us with the Attractions on one occasion. Bruce Thomas was showing me the finer ways of bar fighting one night in Manchester. Bannister nearly sliced his thumb off. And we had a deputy bass player, Nick Lowe, for a few shows, and then we had a deputy bass player for one number, Phil Lynott, the late Phil Lynott. Oh, and when we came to America, Dr. John, or John as we called him then, deputized for Bruce for a few shows. And the best thing about those shows, about the, my memory of it is not that great, was that there is actually footage of that, those few shows, because they were doing a Nightline feature on punk rock. And the closest thing you'd get was us. Now the best thing about it was that the reporter that came to, and he was running up to people in supermarkets in Ohio and saying, "What do you think of punk rock?" And these women thought they'd won a prize in some sort of contest about detergent. And what I missed something out of the story is the name of the reporter was Random. Or, as we called it, Haranda. Now, you know, we had at those times, we had a different attitude about the United States. And our former manager, Jay Riviera, said to John, "While Geraldo is around, on no account speak. Because you realize you're American." I have no idea what that was funny to me. Fear nonetheless. We're going to play some swinging R&B music for you. John used to say, "We're going to do that one that sounds like the birds." So we're going to do that one that sounds like the birds. Semi-pro band I was in, he worked for Fender. He said, "I'll get you a guitar." They sent away, to the factory in Japan, and it came in a nice box. It was a maple neck Telecaster. I thought it was pretty fancy until I got it out of the box and I found the strings were this far away from the neck. And knowing everything that I knew about guitars, I thought that was it. I just got a bad one. I didn't know you could trick you. So I played it like that for about 4 years. Including on Miracle Man. That's why I got very strong hands. I never shake hands with anybody because I can harm you. And one day I was walking down a road in Hounslow, kind of a very attractive suburb of London, near London Airport. And I looked into a music shop window and there on the wall was a Jazzmaster. And the exact color is replicated very well in the guitar they had behind the store back there. The Fender have just made, they finally noticed that I play a Fender Jazzmaster after 30 years. And they've made a replica. I think they've got the shade of the brown almost exactly, I think it's called Shite Brown, actually. Somebody was getting it together in the country in Hounslow and decided to make their guitar look a little bit more traditional with an attractive shade of furniture varnish. So you can enjoy that show, this thrill for yourself if you want to bid on the guitar. They're trying to sell it.
Yeah.
And I think it plays very well. I have to say they've done a great job. It doesn't play like this one. I fancied it up and made it into kind of, I fancied I was going to have a career in country western. But here is a song that I was watching the television one night and a filthy old fascist came on called Oswald Mosley, who worked at the British Union Fascist. And I wrote this song about something bad really happened to him that I was hoping I could imagine. No lessons here.
Discover my left foot from my right. You just
newspapers and then a magazine. Why do you salute you when you don't know what they mean? Why don't you tell me how to whistle and dance? I want to know what I'm whistle and dance. Why don't you show me to the drive and drive and the story of life? Do it in a bar and not satisfied. Do it in a bar and not satisfied. Unimaginable luxury to be staying in the Hojos in Mill Valley. You gotta understand that we were staying in hotels in Leeds, in England, where you had to walk along a freezing corridor to go to the bathroom. You were lucky if you had a narrow cot that was just enough sort of width to turn over in, with a nylon sheet that glowed in the dark. And if you wanted to see television, you had to go down to a lounge on the ground floor and negotiate with an elderly retainer in a uniform. So you can imagine, in those days, the Menace of the Attractions and I, we all liked one another. We used to share rooms. And we had these double beds so we didn't have to sleep together. And we had a color television with more than three channels. We were living the high life. And I met a lot of people here. I met Austin and Leslie, and little by little, I already knew these guys. And I met John Goddard, the great John Goddard, and Village Music. And I gotta say that it's a really very fine of you to come down tonight and to be part of this evening and give this music again. I'm not a nostalgically minded person. Usually, I like to display songs that I like, and I even like a few of them that I've written. But it's been an amazing experience to come back into the room and see these guys again and play. And I want to thank everybody involved, everybody from the Grand Love Musical, Dawn and Bobby, and everybody, all everybody in my crew who put this together. It's been a very special thing. I don't really get along with the people, you know, the music scene in my country. I don't go back that much. And the last couple of days, I mean, I had my mother ringing me up and say, now they're printing in the newspaper that you hate England. And, you know, because it gets exaggerated after a while. And I said, wow, if I'd known that I would have got this much publicity, I would have said goodbye a lot earlier. But I don't often say this, the words that are going to come out of my mouth right now, but I do want to thank Paul Lippitor. I want to thank Joel Selden very much for the very soulful, thoughtful article about this evening. More especially, I want to thank them for the very thoughtful words, very sensitive words that they wrote about Richie. She came down to see the rehearsals, and it's really a very extraordinary thing that Austin and Leslie have lived through this last 9 years, and anybody that has the responsibility for looking after somebody with Prader-Willi syndrome. And you're simultaneously a child who clearly has a lot of problems, but also has a very beautiful spirit, and they have done their very utmost to give him that love, and at the same time, raise their very beautiful story. And they will be very, I love the story. In some ways, I might not be standing up here were it not for Austin. Austin, as you probably know, played in the band called Legs Over Easy, and he's one of the great treasures in the Bay Area. But before that, he came over to England and helped start a scene over there where people just got back to playing music like we're playing this evening, and venues much like this evening are a lot smaller, I have to say. I did my very first recordings before I was a professional in a studio in the Hope and Anchor pub where many of us played in those days in the mid-70s. And there was a basement pub, and then there was a public bar, and above it, unbeknownst to the patrons who were drinking so happily and in a carefree fashion, there was about 15 tons of recording equipment immediately above them, totally unsupported. There could have been, when Grant Parker made his first records there could have been a fantastic story where he just punched through 3 floors there and killed his potential audience. Or me. But Austin did a lot to turn us on to, like, just a way to play like we're doing tonight. And obviously these guys, their records were talked about in hushed tones in London in those days. I remember finding Clover record in a second-hand store in Wandsworth, but they didn't even have a sleeve, so I didn't even know what these guys looked like. Oh my God, they were getting shocked when I met them. You know? But, you know, what I'm trying to say is it's a chain of events that leads us to here. And it's a really very, very kind of you to come out tonight and listen to this. I'm glad that we got the opportunity. And we couldn't really think of any way to play the songs other than in the sequence of the record. Because the record only lasts about 35 minutes, so if I'm talking a lot, it's because we don't want you to be so tired. When the Attractions and I first came up, we could get that 35 minutes down to 25, no problem. I'm
I know.
Madden Waller on drums, Pete Thomas. On the electric guitar, first time ever seen guitar, the John McPhee.
To the detectives, only if they shoot.
Records 35 minutes long, we really knew how to get value for money in those days, and that was two sides of the record. You know, I don't record music no more, I just do this. I just play on the stage, and I mean, on the road. We were going to do this show about a month ago, just before Strictly Hardly Bluegrass, and we had it all set up. And Nick Lowe was going to come, and so he says his love to everybody here, and thanks for coming. He just finished, he's in Sweden, I think, tonight. But then I got this call from this folk singer from Minnesota wanted me to open for him. So we had to delay a little bit, and I want to thank everybody, especially for being so understanding with my members and everybody in the organization. But I thought, as they were up here at our songs, that's the album. This band doesn't know this is Bob. I made a rule that I wasn't going to play any song after 1977. For this show. So I thought I'd play you a couple of songs that come from 1975. I used to play with a partner of mine who lives in Austin, Texas now. I used to play in a pub on a Friday night, and they would come up to us after about 19 pints of beer and say, "Do you know any Slade?" I think those guys. His name was Gallagher. I think he was it was in Widnes, which is just near enough to Manchester. I remember it was this monobright brown guy that used to come up and ask. I was suspecting it might be the Gallagher brothers' father. Anyway, I wrote this song about spirits. Signing off this faded love tonight, stepping out in style. Got you cheated on mine, got my finger in the night. I think I need another drink. Let's get down to the bar. Listen up before I start to sing. Please don't ask me why I do it. It's the same old step from the same old shoe delivery. Customers like it, they'll keep on paying if they keep on drinking, they'll end up staying if you try a little harder.
empty glasses are dreamed instead. The band is playing and the floor is packed. It's the same old singer, it's the same old beat. He trades his peace of mind for another piece of me. Please don't ask me why I do it. It's the same old step from the same old shoe that in the customer's like you felt. Keep on paying the bill, keep on drinking the end up staying in you. Try. Bar is closing and the band is drunk. Picked up the drummer and they put him in a trunk. Bobby says it's getting late, you better make it to the door. The one that I had over the eight seems less like one, more like four. Please don't ask me why I do it. It's the same old step from the same old shoe leather. Customers like you, they'll keep on failing, keep on drinking, they'll end up staying in my. You try a little harder, I know that you can't play. Just like a jukebox. Just like a jukebox. Just like a jukebox.
About a couple who really love each other very much, except when they drink.
Take off your shoes, hang up your wings, stack up the chairs, roll up the rug, savor the things that sobriety brings, draining the last from a jug. When I hit the bottle, there's no telling what I'll do. Something deep inside me wants to turn you black and blue. I can't resist you, I can't wait to twist your loving arms till you capitulate. Meet me in the kitchen and I'll beat you in the hall. There's nothing I love better than a free-for-all. Take your bitter neck and see which way it bends. But when it is all over, we will still be friends. Wave a white flag, put away the pistol. Too many people just can't get kissed. But if there's nothing I can do to make amends, baby, hope you don't murder me. Or was it all right? Or was it okay? I'll make it all up to you someday. Oh, but you didn't have to laugh that way. Oh, no, you didn't have to laugh that way. Wave a white flag, put away the pistol. Too many people just can't get kissed, but if Grooming, grooming, grooming. I don't know how I got in it. I thought about you for a while, I'm gonna try to dial you in a way. Can't get you out of my head. I try to get you off my mind. I'm better off without you, can. I get along just fine for a day or two. Then I'm on my own again. I find it every now and then. Something always seems to remind me of you. Blooming, blooming, blooming. I don't know how I got it. I thought about you for a while. I'm gonna try to dial you in the way. Can't get you out of my head. Well, I can't help this feeling anytime, any day. Blooming, blooming, blooming. I don't know how I got it. I thought about you for a while. I'm gonna try to dial you in a way. Can't get you out of my bed. Can't get you out of my bed. Can't get you out of my bed. Blooming, blooming, blooming. Everybody's talking like they can't sit down, looking like they can't stand up. Must be the latest star, cause I've seen a lot of things that you never see. Back up the mile to the hanging tree. Some people can't keep their fingers clean, clicking the heels to amphetamine. Everybody's talking like they can't sit down, looking like they can't stand up. Must be the latest style, cause I've seen a lot of things that you never see. Back up the bottom to the hanging tree. Some people can't keep their fingers clean, licking their teeth to amphetamine. Trying to keep careening into the first edition. Stacks of bitchery. Jump up, hold on tight. Can't trust a promise or a guarantee. Cause the man around the curve says that he's never heard of you or me. No tombstone would ever surprise me when I'm locked in a room about half the size of a matchbox. Got holes in my sock. They match the ones that I got in my feet. I put my feet in the holes in the street. Somebody paid me over. I was a statue standing on the corner. Tell me how much can a boy get to see those pretty please? Candidate talking on the radio from the Cheetah's Jamboree. It must be their latest fool. It's a two-horse race and he changes bets like it was just another brand of cigarettes. Some people judge and they just guess the rest. They can't understand it, don't mean that you're blessed. They ought to catch the express next up, no way. That way you can't forget. Jump up, hold on. Just a promise or a guarantee. and out the curses that he's never heard of you all in.
Notebooks. I write in notebooks all the time. I write songs all the time, and sometimes I don't finish it for years and years. And whenever I get to the end of a notebook, I would go back and find lines that I liked, and I put them in the next notebook until the thoughts all showed up in a song. And I'm going to sing a song now I wrote in 1975. I kept most of the words until about 1980, and then I wrote a song that you find most of the lines in. And even one of the lines survived all the way to 1993 before I found a place for it.
This with beaver string and sets of phones. They got twisted motives, they got eyes of stone. But it's a terminal condition that is tattooed through and through. It's not that they don't need you, they're too. They stop to choose. Broken noses hung up on the wall. Bat slapping drinkers, chilling championship raw. There's so much drunk, they don't understand the word defeat. They can take you out and shoot you. They can confiscate that beat. Steam engineer breaks down in the museum. He's seen the future of the diesel wheel. Listen to the hammers falling in the breeze yard. When you're used to the glamour, it comes at you twice as hard. Sometimes I think that I have had enough. Sometimes I scare myself by giving up. But you know that I can't turn it off. Younger rehearsals on her blackmail faces. She's looking for a love that lasts. She'd never break the heart of any of the aces. She's learning pretty fast. I've seen those clowns running all over town, trying to satisfy all of their carnival desires. Start out looking for your own melody. You end up in the closing time quiet.
You okay?
All you lucky people crying in your beer. When it comes down to silence, not even tears. You're in real trouble. Between the two, when it comes down to me, when it comes down to you. But there must be something you're allowed to keep. In between all of these pantomimes, this is very easy to let love fall asleep when you are worrying about hard times. Sometimes I think that I have had enough. Sometimes I scare myself by giving up. But you know that I can't turn it off. But you know that I can't turn it off.
I think that song went a draw because I thought it was a bit presumptuous for a 21-year-old to be singing those things. 53 now. I didn't think that I would ever be up on the stage playing with these guys again. To play this music, it's been just a fantastic experience for the last couple of days. And I'd like to welcome back to the stage on keyboards, Mr. Sean Hoffman. The heads of guitar and the hot pedal steel guitar with the double feet. And the man is responsible for us all being clowns. He first called up Clover when he was in Jupiter. Pete was over here working with John Stewart in the early mid-70s. It's not John Stewart from the Daily Show, it's a guy that I'm here. And he was the one that hooked us all up in the first place. So on the drums, Pete Thomas. Hide the George Jones cassettes. Well, you know, we got the last laugh. This was the demo that got me the gig of singing this song with George Jones, and so I have to thank these guys for that. It's got a stranger in the house.
This ever was when I
So we'd have a brand new song, a brand new arrangement to play for you tonight.
Everybody seem to have something better to talk to. Everybody seem to have somebody better to do. And now the time looks so mean and dangerous and ended up stepping on her toe. How bad she was, a perfect stranger. And the next thing she said was, I think you ought to know. Oh, dancing time. dance and can't hear myself speak. Open the eyes of other girls and tell them lies and last chances and slow motion drugs. Pick wildflower dancers.
Yeah. Harper. I have an organ. Vocals us below. A bass guitar from the ship Don Shampoo. A special guest, a Telecaster guitar, Bill Kershaw.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say this gentleman has helped me put together this benefit and an unbelievably fantastic concert. I think it sounded. And I'm moved to tears. I can hardly speak about it. But my good friend, and what a man, thank you so much. The one and only.
Yeah.
Thanks to you all very much for making this very special. We don't get to play two houses too often. The late show starts at about 1 o'clock. We've got a couple of people who are celebrating in the house tonight. First of all, we've got the woman who's taken care of business for me in good, bad times and has just arrived here after a pretty amazing trip on the Queen Mary and Amtrak across the entire country. It was Jill Taylor. I happens to be your birthday. So I would appreciate it very much if you would sing happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jill. Happy birthday to you.
Anniversary version of mine is just get the hell out of me when I told me it was that. But on it is a recording that the attractions and I did of some of the songs from my orchestra and some of the songs that I've just written for this year's model. And you can hear on the beginning of it one of my managers, Dave Robinson, apologizing to the audience for the trouble that they had in getting into the show because the people that we like to call the Rosses, the filth, the pigs, the peelers, the coppers. I tried to shut the gig down because it was overcrowded in the streets of West Kensington. Not really a place to associate with rioting. And we had to sneak a notable American singer and terrific guitar player in through the public bar with threats of violence that for these days would have you taken away to black sites. And later on in the evening, after enjoying what can only be called a ramshackle performance by me and the attractions, we hauled up in a party in which she tried to entice a rather self-conscious young 22-year-old guy onto the dance floor to do the hustle. And the mum. I'm sure by now that you can tell that I'm talking about Miss Bonnie Raitt. It's Bonnie's birthday tonight, and she's also, we were hoping that we might persuade her to come and sing, but we're going to the next best thing we're hearing her sing, we're going to sing one for her, because we all sang a happy birthday downstairs. Austin and I are going to play her a song.
Come on.
Yes, I